His name is Pebbles. He's often seen wandering around the campus like he owns the place, which truthfully he does. He's very friendly and he's an Instagram star. Honestly, I think if you search Pebbles the cat on Instagram, you know, there he will be.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer brandneuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Egal, ob in Form eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder sogar eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Für unsere heutige Folge haben wir mit Ellie Gibson von der University of Essex in Colchester im Südosten Englands gesprochen. Die Uni gehört seit Jahren zu unseren beliebtesten Partnerhochschulen in England und das sowohl für ein Auslandssemester als auch besonders für ein Academic Gap Year direkt nach dem Abitur.
Das klingt vielleicht im ersten Moment etwas überraschend, weil Colchester als Stadt wahrscheinlich vielen von euch kein Begriff ist. War es mir übrigens auch nicht, bevor wir angefangen haben, mit der University of Essex zusammenzuarbeiten. Aber zum einen liegt Colchester nur eine gute Stunde von London entfernt und zum anderen ist es eine typische Campus-Uni, an der immer etwas los ist.
Genau. Es gibt nämlich nicht nur viele Studierendenorganisationen, Sportangebote und Cafés auf dem Campus, sondern sogar eine Bar und einen eigenen Nightclub, das Sub-Zero.
Wenn ihr wissen wollt, was es damit auf sich hat und welcher Studierendenorganisation Ellie selbst am liebsten beigetreten wäre, dann hört am besten direkt rein in die Folge. Viel Spaß!
Hi, Ellie. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
Yes.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi. It's great to have you on. And yeah, let's jump right in. But before we talk about the University of Essex, we would like to first introduce you and find out a little bit about yourself. So can you explain to our listeners what is your role at the University of Essex?
Sure. So my role at the university is International Business Development Officer. And you might be thinking, okay, but, you know, I'm interested in study abroad or a gap year. How has that got anything to do with me? Essentially, as part of my role, I'm responsible for the recruitment of students to our study abroad and gap year programs, which is why I'm here talking with you lovely people today.
Nice. And so what do you like most about working at the University of Essex?
I think, honestly, my favourite thing about the University of Essex, I've had it ever since I first arrived many years ago for my first ever interview there. It's just the feeling on campus. It's a fantastic community-spirited place. Like the second you walk onto the campus, it just feels like you're in such a safe, supportive environment. Everybody is super friendly and it's just got a really nice vibe. And I think that's what got me hook, line and sinker, to be honest. And I think that's something that our students experience as well.
Yeah, sounds great. So last question, and after that we're checked in. So what's a fun fact that people would be surprised to learn about you?
So I do have a particular fun fact, which is underutilized in my job, I have to say, which is I can play all of Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf on the recorder. But in terms of more useful fun facts, I'm a massive history buff. I love history. And that's something as well that hopefully I'll get to talk about within this podcast, because I'm really blessed to be working in such a historic place like Colchester.
Yeah, I mean, that was the perfect segue actually into the first kind of real question, because as you just said, Colchester is a very historic place. Now, I would give our audience the benefit of the doubt in maybe not having heard of Colchester before, because sure, it's not a kind of a major city that students might have heard of. There is no Premier League soccer team or anything like that. So what can you tell us about Colchester? What kind of place is it?
Sure. So Colchester.
Where is it?
So Colchester is located in the county of Essex, and that's in southeastern England. So if you look at a map, you'll see on the east kind of side of the country, there's a big sticky outy curvy bit. We're right at the bottom of that, situated about an hour away from London by train. So Colchester as a city is actually the oldest recorded settlement in England. It was the first capital city of the country before London. So we've got that one over London, which is great. And it's been really at the peak, or at the heart, I should say, of all sorts of different events throughout history. So it was, as I say, it was a Roman settlement about 1,000 years ago. And then it developed into, you know, a medieval settlement, had lots of different developments throughout history. So, you know, going into the Victorian period, lots of, you know, industry popping up. And it was also a key player in the English Civil War back in the 17th century, which means that it's a really fascinating environment to be in. Like, you walk down Colchester High Street, you're seeing a bit of Roman wall, you're seeing medieval timber framed buildings. You know that very like nice chocolate boxy kind of thing? Mm. Yeah, we've got loads of them. We're seeing stunning Georgian stone built buildings. We're seeing Victorian buildings. It's a real treasure trove for any kind of history buff.
And then you get to the University of Essex campus, yes. Which is not Roman or medieval, but Georgian. But it was actually built in the 60s, right? Because it's a fairly new university, actually.
Sure. So that is actually true in parts. So The University of Essex campus is, yes, it's was built in 1964. We're coming up to our 60th anniversary next year, if my maths serves me correctly.
Accurate.
Yep. Sounds like, yeah. I've got it right. Yep. And it's very much a campus of its time. So it's entirely purpose built for students. Everything you need is on campus. And we've got lots of lovely brutalist concrete architecture, which is kind of at the heart of our campus. Obviously, we've like invested in the campus since the 1960s. We have much more modern facilities and buildings now. But at its very nucleus is that gorgeous purpose-built 60s environment that it's become really iconic, and it's something that I think people really appreciate with our campus. I do appreciate that some people will not put lovely and brutalist in the same sentence. But it's an architectural style I, for one, particularly enjoy. But going back to my first point, we are actually built in almost 200 acres of historic parkland. So we have Wivenhoe House Hotel, which is located on our Colchester campus. And this is actually going way back when it was a country house for a local preeminent family. And the parkland that the university is situated in is actually their landscaped parkland and gardens. But yeah, it was immortalised in a painting by John Constable, which is called Wivenhoe Park. And for some reason, that is now hanging in, I think it's the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., very far away from Essex, actually. But we do have, obviously, a long history and heritage, and it's a really beautiful environment. So thank you very much to the people in, you know, the 18th century who did that landscaping, because it's fantastic parkland and it regularly, you know, wins awards for being fantastic and beautiful. I think we were recently ranked in the top 10 parks in all of England, which is something we're really proud of.
Mm. And I think parks are something that comes to mind to a lot of people when they think about England, if they will think about parks. When they think about universities in the UK, though, they often also think of the old traditional kind of red brick universities like Oxford, Cambridge, maybe St. Andrews up in Scotland. And they might not have heard of the University of Essex before. But when you look at the rankings, for example, I think Essex is doing really, really well. And in some subject areas, it even kind of outranks some of the universities I just mentioned. Yeah. How do you think Essex was able to build up such a reputation in such a short period of time?
Sure. So I think that the reason for this, we actually have to look back to the 1960s, right at the genesis of the university, because something that Essex is really proud of is the fact that we've been breaking boundaries right from the start, right from the moment that the university was actually conceptualized. So I will try not to give you a bit of a history lesson here. But basically, when the university was founded, it was considered to be incredibly groundbreaking. And radical innovation was really a key point. So it was, that was what was identified as being the heart, or at the heart, I should say, of all of our approaches to our education and our research. And that's something that really has carried on into the present day. So something we're really proud of at Essex is the fact that we like to do things differently. And, you know, our students and their successes are really key and at the very heart of everything that we do. And that excellence in teaching and that excellence in research is something that has carried on across our 60 years. And I mentioned our architecture on campus earlier and the reason why I like the Essex campus so much. And this is actually because the university was designed to inspire those kinds of feelings. So if you walk around our campus, it was deliberately designed to encourage a sense of community within the university. And there have been all sorts of different exhibitions about this throughout the various decades that the university has been going on. And I think another thing is the fact that we have something called the Essex Spirit, and we're really, really proud of the Essex Spirit. And because of really our core ethos being breaking boundaries, it's something that we really challenge our students to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we challenge them to, you know, think differently and ask questions and go against conventions. So I think that's why the university's been able to flourish.
So would you say that it was basically designed as sort of a counterweight to the traditional kind of a little more conservative universities in being kind of more progressive? And I mean, I know the 60s in terms of politics was like breaking with the old, coming up with new ideas. And I think, I mean, the entire kind of hippie movement was founded during that time. So would you say it's kind of part of that spirit of saying, let's do something new?
Absolutely. I would definitely say that. And that's something that our students have always been famous for. We have very famously a very active and politically engaged student body. So great for anybody who's looking to come to the university to do politics or international relations. And very famously, you know, we've had examples of students back in the 60s. We used to have a fountain in one of our squares at the university. And one of the students drove his Fiat into there in protest. Fortunately, we don't have that anymore on campus. You know, we do have designated car parking spaces for students and no more fountains. Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, that's a reason and that kind of challenging convention.
Okay. But if I'm not mistaken, it also had something to do with kind of providing better access to university to kind of different parts of the population as well, right? To make education a little less kind of elitist. I think it was a similar movement in Germany at the time as well. Is that's when a lot of the universities of applied sciences were founded in Germany. So I think that's kind of like a parallel movement, that this was an idea to kind of make education, especially higher education, more accessible and more kind of industry relevant. That's very interesting.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
So in terms of subject areas, I mean, you already mentioned politics, but what are some other subject areas that Essex is known for and maybe ranks particularly well in?
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go through an exhaustive list because we will be here all day. And that's probably not going to make for the easiest listening for the people who are playing this. So I just want to highlight a couple of our different departments that we have that might be of particular interest to students who are looking to study with us. So I mentioned government already with our, you know, radical student body going back to the 1960s. And this is something that has really continued up to the present day. So our government department ranks 9th in the UK for politics and international relations. So that's according to the QS World University Rankings by subject. And we are also second in the UK for our research output within government. And I will just pause here and say that at Essex, I mentioned that excellence in education and research, and that is something that really still drives everything that we do. So our departments are very involved in their research. They're very involved in their research outputs. And what that does mean is it translates very nicely into the classroom environment. So everything that our students are learning at Essex is, it's brand new. It's on the edge of cutting edge research. and it's active scholarship that's going on. So they're not sitting, you know, and repeating stuffy things in scholarship that's been going on for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Everything they're learning in the classroom is new, innovative ways of thinking and, you know, challenging them to think outside the box. So just wanted to highlight that. Moving away from the Department of Government, I could talk about them a lot more, but I'm not going to. We have our law school, so the Essex Law School. Again, we are really, really proud of the Essex Law School, ranking within the top 50 globally, and that's according to the Times Higher Education World University Rankings by subject this year, and ninth within the UK as well, so that's within the same rankings. So again, we're dead proud of that. Moving away from, you know, the areas of government and law, we have language and linguistics. So a great option for any student who's thinking about coming and studying, you know, translation, linguistics, any kind of language. We rank 12th for linguistics, according to the Times and Sunday Times Good University Guide. And we also have our Department of Economics I want to highlight as well. So economics for students who are, you know, good with numbers, stats, love all that kind of stuff. We are 18th in the UK, and that's the QS World University Rankings by subject. And again, very, very strongly driven by research. So we are fourth in the UK for our research power. And just one more department I wanted to highlight as being of particular interest to students who are thinking of studying abroad is our Edge Hotel School. So a couple of questions ago, I mentioned the fact that we have Wivenhoe House Hotel on campus. And that is, you know, it's still a fully functioning four-star commercial hotel. It hosts all sorts of things, like obviously guests, but we have a really nice restaurant attached to that. They do all sorts of different parties, functions, etc., you name it. But what we also have at Wivenhoe House is an actual dedicated hotel school in the form of Edge Hotel School. And so our students who are studying within the school, they gain obviously teaching and classroom theoretical time, of course, as you'd expect from a degree, but they also gain four-star hotel experience, real practical experience in the commercial hotel world. And that's something that our students really benefit from. And I think because of the fact that they get that experience, we have very high employability rates for Edge Hotel School, great industry connections as well. I think that's a reason why we consistently rank really highly in the National Student Survey for student satisfaction. So you're probably thinking, yeah, but well, you've mentioned degrees. Why are we talking about this in a study abroad podcast? I'm happy to say this is because we do have options for study abroad within Edge Hotel School. So for students who are interested in hospitality, in tourism, right, in events management, we do have two dedicated routes that students can follow. So we have the hospitality management program and the events management program they can do.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, but I do want to take something you just mentioned earlier, because I think it makes for a really good transition. You said that Essex is known for doing things differently. And yes. I think it might relate a little bit to the international student experience because, yeah, I think many international students gravitate towards cities like London or Edinburgh, for example, for their study abroad experience in the UK. And I think even one of our recent Essex students mentioned in his testimonials that Essex or Colchester wasn't the quote unquote obvious choice for him for studying in the UK in terms of location. And yet Essex is incredibly popular among our study abroad and GEP students. So Ellie, what's the secret? Why do international students have such a good time and experience at Essex?
So I think the secret to why our international students like it here so much is, I mean, there's probably 500 different answers, but I really think it's that community, it's the Essex spirit, and it's that sense of everybody looking out for each other. So I think from the moment you arrive at the University of Essex, we always say, welcome to the family. And it is a lot like that, you know? So the second you arrive, there are, you know, thousands of other people who are just waiting to be your friend. And I think something important to remember as well for our study abroad students is, and you probably say this all the time to students who are thinking of going abroad and who are maybe a little bit anxious, you are 99 times out of 100, you are not going to be the only study abroad student at that university, you know, and it's the same is very, very true at Essex. So we have roughly 400 study abroad and exchange students here every single year. So you are automatically part of a study abroad community. I would say whether you like it or not, but our students do like it very much. Mm. And I mean, internationalization is really... I said that the university's sort of core drivers are, you know, our commitment to our excellence in teaching and our excellence in research. It's also our commitment to being, you know, a very international university. We rank within the top 25 most international universities. And actually, that's 24th for our international outlook in the World University Rankings, Times Higher Education World University Rankings. And we have students from over 140 different countries.
So, yeah, you mentioned the, you know, community feel on campus. I'm sort of guessing that living on campus might be an integral part of the Essex experience as well. So can you describe if or why international students should consider living on campus while studying at Essex?
Sure. So I think living on campus, it's a great way to immerse yourself into campus life. So most of our accommodation is within a 5 to 10 minute walk of central campus. Some of our Colchester campus accommodation is a little bit further out, but you're no more than 15, 20 minutes walk away. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a great place to meet people and make those connections that are going to be so important to you throughout your study abroad experience. I will say as well that we do have something I think that we do really well on campus is we don't really have a policy of going, you're a study abroad student, you must live in this special bit, you know, you're an international student, you're a UK student. We don't do that. So our study abroad, our international students, our UK students, they all live in residences together, which is a great way of integrating and meeting people from all over the world, which is something that, you know, at its core, study abroad is all about, right? Obviously, you're here to study, but you're also here to meet people. You're here to have fun. You want to make connections. And I think that living on campus is a really great way to do that. All of our residences are self-catered as well. So it's a great opportunity to maybe share different things. Like if you're all from different countries, why don't you sit down and do, you know, a dish from my country night kind of situation. It's a great way for people to, you know, strengthen those bonds and make friends at the university because, you know, I remember being a student and going to university. It was really scary. I didn't know anybody. And immediately, you know, living on campus, it was like an automatic way to make myself feel more assimilated, more comfortable. And that's the experience that our students have as well.
That's good.
I think that there are some things I do want to highlight as well around this. So for our study abroad students, as long as they apply by our deadlines that we have, they are all guaranteed on-campus accommodation. And I will say that for gap year students, we do require gap year students to live on campus because more often than not, they're maybe a little bit younger. So
yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
And on the subject of safety, I would say that actually, this is another really great reason why you should live on campus. So our Colchester campus, as I've said, is beautiful, you know, rolling parkland. You know, we've got greenery, we've got trees, we've got lakes, we've got hedgehogs, we've got ducks. It's like a nice nature documentary.
The whole night.
Honestly,
yeah.
David Attenborough could do a narration for the whole thing. It would be great.
I would watch that.
It's also an incredibly safe environment to live in. Everything you need is on campus. You know, we've got supermarkets, we've got cafes, we've got restaurants, we've got an on-campus nightclub, we've got pubs. We even have a cat. So, you know, if you...
You have a what?
We have a cat.
A cat. Okay.
So, you know, if you're a student who, you know, maybe you have pets at home, maybe you're sad, maybe you're missing your pets during your semester or year abroad. Well, we have one for you.
You can borrow ours.
Yes. His name is Pebbles. He's often seen wandering around the campus like he owns the place, which truthfully he does. He's very friendly and he's an Instagram star. Honestly, I think if you search Pebbles the cat on Instagram, you know, there he will
be. Blue check mark and all.
Oh my God, he must be well fed.
Incredibly well fed, yes. I was literally on campus yesterday looking at the four different food bowls that he has outside of the SU shop going, wow, that cat has the easiest life.
And that's in addition to kind of all of the food he's probably being offered by well-meaning students.
I know, honestly, like it's a wonder that, you know, I look at him and I'm like, wow, you're incredibly svelte for a cat that just eats all the time, huh? What a dream.
So cool.
So I would say that I think that's one of the key things about living on campus, as well as the convenience. Like, we have everything you need there. But also, if you're living from campus, like I say, you're about 5 minutes away from your lecture theatres, you're 5 minutes away from the SU, you're 5 minutes away from that nightclub that we have on campus. Like, everything you need is there. I mean, we do say to students, you know, in theory, you know, you don't ever really have to leave, but you probably should, you know.
Right. What is that nightclub all about? Because I have read about it in the different testimonials, and it seems to be a big hit with our students. I don't think I know a university in Germany that has a nightclub on campus.
I mean, pub,
yes, no. Cafes, yes, but nightclubs. Is that like a real thing? When does it open? What kind of music does it play?
Well, so what is the nightclub all about? Well, for one, I think it's a great thing that we have a nightclub on campus, because it means that the majority of our students who are living on campus can literally, they can be in their flats. They can be like, hey, I want to go out within 5 minutes. You know, they've walked to our on-campus nightclub, which is conveniently located right in the middle of our different squares that we have. It's underground. It's called Sub-Zero, hence the name. It's very, very cool. And I think that's such a great thing to be able to just go on a night out, knowing that you're in a completely safe and secure environment and you're a 5 minute walk away from where you live at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have any kebab shops you can stop at, you know, on the way home. But, you know, at least, you know, you're within easy striking distance of the cheese on toast you're going to have at the end of the night, you know. So in terms of the music that Sub-Zero...
Safe on cab fares. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah. I know.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. It's a very cost-effective way of doing it.
Yeah.
So I guess in terms of the music, like, it's really, really varied because, you know, with a campus community of... you know, about 17,000 students. I mean, that is across our three campuses, but Colchester being the biggest one, the majority of students do, you know, live and work and study around the Colchester campus. As you can probably imagine, with so many students from over 140 different countries, we're going to have a lot of different music tastes flying around. Not everybody is going to want the same things. And we do cater to that. So we do classic cheese nights where students can, you know, dance to, you know, the Grease soundtrack, the Macarena, Saturday Night by Wigfield, you know, all those classic hits that have kept us going since, you know, the 90s. We do indie nights. We do dance nights. There are all sorts of different things going on. We have rock versus indie nights, which sounds great. And I very much wish I could go there. basically, there is really something for everybody. Coming up in the next kind of couple of weeks, we do have a very exciting special event on at Sub-Zero, which is our annual Derby Day aftermath party. So for any student that studies abroad with us, for number one, I would encourage you to join one of our many clubs and societies. Number two, join us if you're remotely sporty inclined. Join a sports team and please participate in Derby Day. So this is an annual event that's held with our local friendly rival university, and we take it in turns to go and visit each other's campuses and participate in sports together. And at the end of it, the winner, I should say, receives a big shiny cup. The reason I mention it is because we aren't very good at winning, I will say that, hand on heart. So if you're good at sports, please do come to the University of Essex, because we need you win and, you know, regain the cup. But secondly, the Derby Day after party is, I think it's a huge highlight in our students' annual calendars, because it only comes once a year. It's always great fun. And the tunes that they'll be playing will be out of this world.
And that's sort of end of April, beginning of May, or when does that typically happen?
So it obviously depends on when things like Easter holidays fall, etc. But yeah, this year it's the 26th of April. So yeah, you're looking at sort of April, May time.
Ooh. Yeah. Very cool. I mean, you already mentioned the clubs and the sports teams and everything. And I know that Essex has a lot of them. I had a look at the list, and it's crazy. It seems like there is something for kind of every taste. Do you have any examples that you can share of particularly kind of weird or unique clubs that you have on campus?
So in terms of our clubs and societies, I was devastated when I was looking at our list recently to find that the Garlic Bread Society is no longer with us.
I know it's
a real, you know, point of sorrow for me. You know, every time I, you know, bite into my, you know, lovely Italian meal in the evenings, I'm crying in remembrance of it. We do still have lots of different clubs and societies for students. And I mean, we have over 120 of them. And so we do say to students, you know, there's got to be something for everybody. And if there's nothing for you, you can make your own. It's fine. That's very much something that students can and do. I think some highlights, though, for me personally, and I'm just thinking of things that would be particularly interesting for our study abroad students. I mean, the Travel Society is a great one. Obviously, you've traveled here to the UK, but why not see more of it? And I know that the Travel Society, they do lots of different trips, not only within the UK itself, but also within wider Europe. So I would say that would be a great option for students. Something that really caught my eye as well is our TEDx Society as well, which gives students the opportunity to deliver, you know, their own TED Talks with each other. And I think that's such a fantastic, you know, example of our students being innovative, of being creative, because I've never heard of a student society like that before. And I mean, obviously there are lots of different standard societies that you'd expect to find everywhere. So, you know, you've got the academic societies, you've got the intercultural societies, the faith societies, the political societies. But in terms of activities, we've got loads going on. So, you know, if blockchain and cryptocurrency is your thing, if you want to work on, you know, game development, or if you want to learn origami, you know, develop the public speaking, or join the Green Thumb Society. And they sound like a great group of people. You know, and as somebody who regularly kills their houseplants, I could definitely benefit, you know, the knowledge and the expertise of our students that are in this society.
Yeah, sign me up for that. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was just going to say, Elias. Yeah. So, but if students are only at Essex for one semester, can they still join? Or
they absolutely can. So students who are here for a full year, that's by the by. Students who are here for a semester, they absolutely should be able to join. It'll just be a case of joining the society at the beginning of term at our society's fair. I do sometimes speak to students who are like, well, there's no point in me joining a society because I'm only here for a semester. Even so, I say do it, seize the day. Join the society, because you know what? Yes, you're going to make friends in your accommodation. Yes, you know, you're going to make friends on your course. Yes, you're going to make friends with the other study abroad students. But by joining a society, it's another avenue by which you are going to make friends. You are going to increase the pool of people that you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's, you know, something that you already do, maybe it's a new skill. It just gives you the opportunity to say, yeah, I would honestly say yes to everything. It gives you the opportunity to try something new. It gives you the opportunity to bond with other people over something you're mutually passionate about. And it gives you the opportunity to make new friends. And that is never a bad thing, especially when you're on a semester or year abroad.
And I just think it sounds so super unique in terms of what kind of options you have. So, you never know when those options come around again. So well, I think you should seize it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, I do think it's so cool, you know, the breadth of societies that we have. Because yes, you do, you know, we do have some that are affiliated with wider organizations like the St. John's Ambulance Society, for example. But other than, you know, those ones, every single society that, you know, we have is totally student-led. So it's our students that are who are the ones that have gone, hey, this sounds cool. I think we should do this. Mm-hmm. I think we should do that. Because our student union has no involvement with the wider university. It's for students and it's by students. So it's not like somebody has sat there in an office in the university going, yes, we will have a Green Thumb Society. No, nothing like that. It's our students doing something that they're passionate about.
So it comes from within, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure. All right. And I think we should probably also, we've talked about clubs and nightclubs and all that stuff. We should probably take the time to talk a little bit about courses at,
you think?
At Essex.
Yeah, I mean, it's the study abroad, right? It's in the
name. Right, the study aspect we need to talk a little bit more about.
For sure.
But anyway, so yeah, I was just wondering how many courses do you study abroad students typically take during a semester at the University of Essex?
Sure. So typically, we would need students to complete a full credit load. So each semester, that translates to 60 credits, so 120 credits for the overall academic year. And normally, depending on the level and the type of subject that they're taking, normally this is four different modules or courses.
Mm-hmm. So it might be a little bit, or it might be fewer courses than what they're accustomed to in, let's say, Germany. Yeah,
exactly. And we do hear this from students who come over from Germany or elsewhere in the world, and they go, hang on, I'm only taking four classes. What is this? This is so easy. I assure them, don't worry, they will be academically challenged because it's what our degree students also follow as a full course load. And it will be more than enough work for them, trust me.
Right. And then 60 credits in the UK system equals 30 ECTS. So that is kind of the standard course load.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when do students or study abroad students actually choose their courses? Do they do it in advance? And are they assisted by the study abroad office in that process?
They are. So students choose their courses that they're going to be studying at Essex after they've already applied. So as part of their next steps, what we'll do is we'll send out some information about choosing their modules. So our study abroad team send that out to them, and then the students have to pick what they're taking based on, you know, what they're already studying, what they need to do in terms of electives, et cetera, et cetera. I will say that one of the things that I think is particularly great about our academic program that we have at Essex is the fact we're incredibly flexible. So I know there are some instances elsewhere where students have to stay within one majority area of study. So say if they're a law student, they have to take modules within law, all of that. We don't do that at Essex. We have a totally buildable program that's totally customizable around the student. And that is whether it's a gap year or a study abroad undergraduate level. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of restrictions from our side, which is if you are a study abroad student, you have to make sure that you've got the course prerequisites. And if you're a gap year student, you can only take first year level modules. But other than that, it's totally free around the student. So, you know, if they've got stuff to fulfill back at home, they can do that with us, but they can also take whatever they like. As long as it's okay with their home university, because I will say this, if you are choosing modules elsewhere at a foreign university, even if they let you pick flexibly, please make sure that it's okay with your home university study abroad office, because otherwise you won't get credit transfer, and that'll be really sad for everybody involved. So I will say to any students, when they get sent the module list, do have those conversations with your home university, because you're going to need to make sure that everything you're taking is going to apply to the degree you're already doing back at home. You asked me about the support that we also give on the Essex side. Absolutely. We are here to answer any questions that students might have around picking their modules, you know, what's the most appropriate module. So our Essex Abroad team helps out with that. But we also have departmental study abroad officers as well. And so these are academic staff who work very closely with the study abroad team within each department. And what will happen is students will choose their modules, and then these get sent on to our DSAOs, as we call them, who will basically go, yep, this looks fine. You're absolutely okay to take this module. I will say as well that even if you were picking your modules ahead of time, this is not necessarily set in stone. So if you arrive at the university having picked your modules, having had them approved, and you're thinking, yeah, I'm so excited to take these courses, if you get there and you think, oh, hang on a second, oh, this was a terrible idea. No, I don't want to do this. No, I want to do something else. My friend's in this class and they're having a much better, you know, time than me. You can change. Everything is fine. We do give you the opportunity to choose or chop and change your modules within the first 2 weeks of the academic year or the start of term. So a message to all students, don't worry, you are not signing your life away. if you decide that the module that you've chosen isn't quite the right fit mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is really good, especially for the gap year students that we are yes. working with, because of course it's the first time at university for them. So they might not even know exactly what they would like to study right. back home, which is part of kind of what the gap year is all about, is trying to explore. So I could imagine that they might kind of pick some modules in the beginning and then realize in the first week it's not what they expected. So yeah. I think especially for them, because they don't have to fulfill any requirements, they are kind of the most flexible all, because they can really be completely led by their interests. But they're also, of course, often a little more challenged just in this new environment, like studying is a new experience for them at university, and this kind of transition from secondary school to university life. So do you have any kind of additional services, or do you pay special attention to these gap year students if they might require a little more assistance?
So for our gap year students, with all of our students at the University of Essex, they are automatically a member of the university and student community, which means that they have everything on the doorstep for them to access, you know, whether it be our student support service, our wellbeing service, et cetera, you name it. We do have a dedicated Essex Abroad team who provide pastoral care and support to study abroad and gap year students as well. And what we do with these students is we will organise or schedule regular check-ins with them throughout the academic year. So there are lots of different ways that we can see how a student is doing. So, for example, we can see if they're engaging with their classes. We can see what their attendance record is. So automatically, if we saw that a student wasn't going to things, we'd go, oh, hold up, there's something we need to look into here. Mm-hmm. But you're right, with the gap year students, because it is the first time for them, because it is so young, they're quite often, you know, younger than 18, and it is an incredibly new experience for them. We do host check-ins with students who are joining the program, mm-hmm. just to make sure that everything's okay, mm-hmm. And to answer any questions that they might have.
Mm-hmm. Maybe final question about the gap year students, because I don't think we talked about that specifically. When we talked about accommodation, do you have a recommendation as to a particular residence for the gap year students?
Honestly, I would say it depends on the students, because we have a whole host of different types of residences on our Colchester campus that students can choose from. So it really depends on kind of the vibe that they're after, I would say. If you have a student, you know, gap year or study abroad level, who's particularly gregarious, who really likes the idea of sharing with a whole lot of people in a flat, who doesn't mind sharing a bathroom, for example, then our Towers accommodation are going to be the one for them. I would wholeheartedly encourage them to mm-hmm. go for that option. You know, you might have students who are quieter, who, you know, who want a slightly more relaxed way of life. You know, they don't mind a little bit of a walk away. They can go to the Keys accommodation. You might have students that are absolutely horrified by the thought of sharing a bathroom, and this is absolutely something that they will not do ever. That's fine. You know, we have en-suite accommodation available. The majority of our accommodation is en-suite. Mm. And, you know, you might have a student who is particularly sporty, who really, really wants to be close to, you know, our multi-million pound sports and gym facilities. Again, that's totally fine. I would encourage them to go into our accommodation situated next to there. So mm. in answer to your question, Alex, I think this is an answer. I would say it depends on the student. It depends on what they're like as a person, the kind of environment that they would like to be in, their budget particularly as well, because everything is priced along right. different price point ranges. But it's always something that we'll be able to help any student in conjunction with yourselves make a decision on, because it's a hugely scary experience and it can be a bit overwhelming, you know, trying to find somewhere to live, especially if you're a student who's, you know, going abroad for the first time.
Mm. Okay, sounds good. You mentioned before that the University of Essex has three campuses in total.
We do.
And I know that you have campuses not only in Colchester, but you also have a campus in Southend-on-Sea. So is this campus also an option for study abroad students, or is that only for degree seeking students?
So Southend is absolutely an option for our study abroad students, not gap year. We need them to be at the Colchester campus.
Okay.
So like I say, Southend is an option for our study abroad students. However, we do because it is a much smaller campus environment, the range of modules and courses that are available to them is much smaller. Mm-hmm. So at Southend, we have various different classes open to study abroad students within Essex Business School, and also our World Performance course, which is run by East 15 Acting School. East 15 have our Loughton campus as our main acting school, but they do run very cool programs in Southend because they're in an old converted church, which is very neat. But yeah, so study abroad students can absolutely, they can take their business courses or their theatre courses in Southend. But I think an important thing to highlight is if you are coming for, I'm going to use business as an example because business is taught at both the Colchester and Southend campuses. You have to pick one campus. You can't mix and match between the two.
How far are they away from each other?
About an hour's drive.
Okay.
A little bit longer on the train.
Okay. And then Southend's advantage is that it's right kind of by the sea. So if people want to have that kind of lifestyle being kind of by the sea, in a seaside town, that's one of the main factors, would you say, in,
I would
in
say
students
so.
Choosing that?
Yeah, and I would also say because of the it's a much different type of campus. It's a much more different type of campus, I should say. So the vibe is very different. So whereas our Colchester campus is kind of self-contained on the outskirts of the city of Colchester, our Southend campus is at the very heart of the city of Southend. So it's probably, I'm trying to think of the right word. Cloistered isn't the correct word, but you're more part of what's going on in the town, if that makes sense. So for students who want to be kind of more in with, you know, the town and what's going on and the local people, Southend could be a great option for them. Like you say, if they like the seaside, you know, if they want to go and explore the nightlife and everything going on in a very vibrant seaside town, then again, great option for them. And you know, if they like things like pleasure piers and arcades and want to experience the classic quintessential British seaside, then Southend is also a great option. Fun fact, it's home to the longest, you know, pleasure pier in Europe. So something I do say to students is something we're incredibly fond of in the UK is a pub quiz. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're ever asked what the longest pleasure pier in Europe is, you'll have to listen to the podcast.
Very good. So, but it doesn't have a pub, it doesn't have a club, and it doesn't have a campus cat.
It doesn't have a pub, it doesn't have a club, and it doesn't have a campus cat. But because you're in the, you know, the city of Southend, right at the heart of it, you've got a multitude of pubs and clubs on the doorstep. So
and probably a couple of cats as well.
Probably some cats.
Probably. All right. Yep. Good. Yeah. So I know that Elias is eager to get started with our this and that questions that we have prepared for you. But I do think that we need to have a quick chat about Colchester's proximity to London, because you said I think it's about an hour on the train, a little over an hour, and there's a train station right on campus or right by campus. Students can go straight to London from there. So would you say it's easy to go there for like weekend trips or even day trips then if it's just an hour?
Gosh, absolutely. And it's something that our students do a lot, because something that we say at Essex is we really give our students the best of both worlds, right? So we have London, which is incredibly accessible, even on our British trains, which are probably less good than what you'd find in Germany. I will hold my hand up.
That's debatable, but
that is not the point of the podcast. We're not going to, you know, discuss the finer points of railway infrastructure across the UK and Germany. It's incredibly accessible. So Colchester is, as you say, it's about an hour away from London. Sometimes it's just over an hour. Sometimes it's under an hour, depending on, you know, how the trains are running that day. And if there's things like cows on the track or leaves, bad weather, that kind of thing. Like I say, it's the best of both for our students. You know, they have the beautiful tranquility of a parkland campus environment that they can live in. It's very quiet. It's very peaceful. It's, you know, rolling fields, blue skies. They've got some gorgeous countryside and the North Essex coastline within easy striking distance. And then equally, They have London, and they've got everything that London has to offer. You know, the museums, the culture, the shopping, the food. I'm not going to sit here and sell London as a destination. I think, you know, London is well renowned enough that people know what London is. But what London is also is it's very busy, it's very expensive. And I think one of the best things about the university is that you get to go to London. You can go and enjoy all of that. You can go for a weekend. You can go for a day. You can go down for a concert in the evening and then get the last train home. But crucially, you are then going to a place where it is quieter, where it is cleaner, where the air is clean, the air is fresh, and it's not costing you all of your money that you've brought. And the same benefits go for Southend as well. So Southend is about 45 to 50 minutes away from London by train. So again, our students who are based at Southend can easily hop into the capital, whether it be for a day trip. Maybe they have arranged to meet a friend in London for dinner and then they're going to go back at the end. That's fine too. It's all very, very accessible.
That's really cool. So then finally, final question from my side, what are some of the must-see places in and around Colchester? Maybe the top, I don't know, two or three.
So with Colchester, obviously I've said that we are an incredibly ancient town going all the way back to the Roman period. So what I would do is, if I was saying to any student, go to Colchester Castle. So this goes all the way back to the Norman period. So the castle that you see today, you can go in, you can learn about the ancient history of the castle back to the Middle Ages. You can learn about the history of the castle after it ceased to be used for domestic purposes. So you can go and see the dungeons. It was used as the county jail for a long time. So there's lots to learn. But the site of Colchester Castle is actually built on the foundations of a Roman temple, which you can go and see for yourself because it's all there right in front of the castle. And so that's a fascinating day out for anybody who is there. And on top of that as well, I would definitely encourage anybody to go and do a walking tour of Colchester as well. So these are arranged through the local tourism office. And I think it's a great way to go and learn more about the place that you're going to be living in and, you know, uncover some hidden gems, some treasure about a place that you probably hadn't heard of that much before you actually arrived there. Certainly it's something that I always do whenever I go to a new place. Number one, it's the walking tour. It's a great way of getting some exercise in and you get to learn about the place. And the other thing I would say that students should really check out in Colchester is something you might not know about Colchester, the fact it's a cultural hub and there's lots of arty stuff going on. So, you know, we've got theatres, we've got museums, we've got galleries, we've got quirky little cobbled streets with vintage shops, that kind of thing. So I would 100% encourage students to go to the Colchester Arts Centre because this is home to all sorts of different things. You know, you've got DJs, you've got comedy nights, you've got loads going on. So yes, we have the nightclub on campus, but we also have a great arts and culture scene within the city of Colchester itself. And also, I should say, a thriving high street full of, you know, independent and chain restaurants, bars, cafes, you name it. It's a great place to be a student. And shops, cool. Of course.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
That's cool. And now I'm going to sit back and relax and let Elias take over again.
Okay, then I think it's time for our final segment of the episode. And I'm always very excited about this. And I hope you will be too, Ellie.
So, excited, nervous, unsure.
Let's see. Yeah, but we like to close it out with the this or that question segment. And I would say let's jump right in with the first one because it kind of relates to what we have just been talking about a little bit. So first question, day trip to London or day on the beach?
For me, London. I don't like sand.
Really?
As much as I love the coastline and the Essex coastline is gorgeous. Yeah, much like Anakin Skywalker in, you know, episode 2 of Star Wars. Yeah, I don't like sand. So yeah, for me, it's London and the museums.
Interesting. Yeah, that was an easy one then, I guess. All right, next one. Fish and chips or chicken tikka?
I'm having to think about this. Can you tell?
yeah.
For me,
take your time. Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the mood, but no, it's got to be fish and chips with a side of mushy peas as well. I think something that we are really, really blessed to have in Essex is obviously we've got that beautiful natural coastline, which means that our fish is great. You know,
lots
it's fresh.
Yeah.
Exactly. And nothing. And I know I said I'd rather go to London in the last question. But honestly, nothing beats going to the coast, sitting on a bench, not the sand, and just having, you know, some really gorgeous, freshly made fish and chips with mushy peas. You know, if you come to the UK and get fish and chips, you've got to do the peas. I don't know if they're a thing in Germany.
No. Yeah, no. I don't think if you... You can get fish and chips here, of course, but I don't think you'll get mushy peas as a side here.
No. You're missing out, guys.
All right, let's move along then. This next one relates to football. The Three Lions or Lionesses?
You know what? It's got to be the Lionesses for me. They are such skilled footballers. They are fantastic. And they've really raised an awareness and passion for women's football within the UK, which is so important. And of course, they won a cup. We love that. The England team, the men's team, hasn't done that in a really long time. So, yeah, the Lionesses.
They beat Germany, which is not good, though.
I know. So, yeah. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a long time ago now.
Well, it was like a year ago. It was just because our best player, who's also called Alexandra with her first name, by the way.
It's
it
a great
must
name.
Be in the name, right? She was out with an injury in the final. So I think he would not have. And a chance.
But I think if you ask someone in Germany the same questions, the same question whether they would go for the men's team or the women's team, I think now you'd get an almost get the same answer, I'd say.
Yeah, we're chronically fed up with the men's team at the moment. So
that is
it's not fun to watch. Yeah.
It's something we can absolutely relate to over here. You know, they spend the whole time on the floor. And they don't win anything, so what's the point?
Yeah.
All right, then. Moving along to something I was really curious about. What's your
you guys
what
are
your
giggling.
Answer's gonna be. So, best reality show: Keeping Up with the Kardashians or The Only Way Is Essex?
Oh my gosh. See, I will preface this by saying The Only Way Is Essex is not representative of the standard Essex experience.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But you know what? I'm going to keep it local. I'm going to say TOWIE.
Nice.
It's addictive. I would encourage anybody to watch it, but with a pinch of salt, and to tell themselves that if they come and study in Essex, it's going to be very different. And also, it's a very different part of Essex, so it's all good.
The people you'd meet at the university might not be the same people you'll come across in there.
Oh, well, put it this way, I've never encountered Gemma Collins in the university library, so I feel like not, no.
Okay, perfect. Then we'll come to the last one, and obviously we couldn't skip that one, but Team Kate and William or Team Harry and Meghan?
So for me, it's got to be Kate and William. I have lots of different reasons for that, but I think that the dedication that they've shown the job is great. They've got a fantastic little family. I know that Prince Louis amused everybody at the Diamond Jubilee celebrations last year. I don't think I've ever seen anybody show as much disrespect to Rod Stewart. I know. and I just think it's so exciting. I'm very excited for them to be the king and queen as and when that happens. Who's to say? Obviously, we've got the coronation next month for his father, Charles III. So we watch this space. I just think that they've done such a fantastic job in, you know, modernizing the monarchy because, you know, they're young, they're relatively accessible, and they seem to really have inherited, I think, Diana's love for the public and, you know, public service.
But then I just read this morning that Harry has confirmed his attendance to the coronation.
That's
so Meghan is gonna stay behind because it's I think Archie's fourth birthday falls on the same day as the coronation, so she cannot make it, but Harry is coming.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Isn't that nice, right?
That's really nice.
It's like in important news that's went.
I know. Like, gosh, I haven't been on Twitter yet today, so I missed all of this.
Yeah. I think honestly, the British monarchy is a bigger deal in Germany for many people, at least in the tabloids, than it is for you guys.
It truly is the gift that keeps on giving. Like, you asked me in the last question, you know, the Kardashians or Towie. It's the monarchy. Like, that is the reality show. Everything is happening with them.
I mean, now that there's no Boris Johnson to talk about, so we need to go back to the monarchy. But
well, it might all get very exciting. I mean, and you guys can watch this hopefully maybe with delight, because obviously we've got the coronation next month, which I'm personally very excited for. I've already blocked out the entirety of Saturday to sit there and eat my strawberries and have my Union Jack hat on and think about the monarchy. But we've obviously got the general election next year as well, so I think that'll be a really exciting time to be a student in the UK, because it might be all change. So
And that might be kind of the topic of another podcast at another time,
because it could well be.
We have well exceeded the hour, I think, in this podcast. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun, I think, and I hope
thank
you've
you
got the same way.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it's always a pleasure to chat, you know, with College Contact more generally, and to, you know, talk a little bit more about the University of Essex so students know about us. Like, it's been a delight. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think we've well established that as a university, might sometimes fly a little bit under the radar. But again, what you talked about today, I think it's a lot of great stuff. And yeah, you can have a really, really good time at the University of Essex as a gap student or a study abroad student. So yeah, thank you also from my side for coming on.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for having
me. And have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, guys. And you too.
Talk again soon.
Yeah, speak soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Und wirst du die Krönung von King Charles am Samstag im Fernsehen verfolgen?
Das weiß ich ehrlich gesagt noch nicht. Aber wenn ich vor Ort wäre in England, dann würde ich es bestimmt machen. Und du?
Maybe.
Aber hier, wo du schon die Krönung ansprichst, ich habe mir eben noch mal den Veranstaltungskalender vom Sub-Zero angeschaut und dort gibt es am Samstag einen Royal Rave, inklusive Giveaway-Krönchen und Charles und Camilla Lookalikes. Da würde ich definitiv hingehen, wenn ich jetzt gerade im Auslandssemester an der University of Essex wäre.
Ja, da wäre ich vermutlich auch dabei. Ich finde die Idee mit dem Nightclub auf dem Campus nach wie vor echt gut. Sowas hätte ich bei mir an der Uni auch gern gehabt.
Ich auch, aber ich weiß nicht, ob ich dann überhaupt noch zum Studieren gekommen wäre.
Wenn ihr jetzt auch Lust bekommen habt, Teil der Essex Family zu werden, dann schaut doch am besten einmal in unsere Shownotes, denn dort findet ihr einen Link zu unserem ausführlichen Hochschulprofil und zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Semester- und Gap-Studierender an der University of Essex.
Wie immer findet ihr in den Shownotes auch noch einmal unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns also einfach an oder schreibt uns eine E-Mail, wenn ihr Fragen zu einem Auslandssemester an der University of Essex oder generell in Großbritannien habt. Wir schicken euch dann gerne unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung mit vielen weiteren Infos und Tipps zum Bewerbungsablauf.
Genau wie unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice ist auch die Anleitung für euch kostenlos, weil wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge werden wir mit zwei Studierenden sprechen, die über uns für ein Semester an der San Diego State University in den USA studiert haben und uns von ihren Erfahrungen in America's Finest City berichten. Für heute sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und habt eine gute Zeit. Bis bald!